get started. We just finished the Gemara on Zanamud Beis, where we talked about the two shittos about whether we had to have the Olin Megulin or not. And the Machlokes Tanakama held that it had to be Megulin. And Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi said, Ben Kach Uvein Kach, you could take it out. The Gemara said he held like Rav Shimon, who holds Rav Shimon's Kavan as Mutter. So the Gemara was Toil, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi, the din of Tolta Man Atzad to Rav Shimon, who holds Rav Shimon's Kavan as Mutter. And the issue, of course, was because of Psik Reisha, and we answered that that the Gemara didn't seem to hold for that, either Psik Reisha Lenichale, like the Shita Sa'orach, and that's a right to the Shita Sa'orach. Okay, Rabbah, B'Shem Rav Huna, Rav Chagi, B'Shem Rav Ze'ira, Rav Yaisi, B'Shem Rav Hila, they all said things in the name of different people. So it says, Moidim Chacham Rav Shimon, B'Kisei, Sharakim Shukos B'Tit. The Chachamim, who, let's say, the Baal Plukta of Rav Shimon, who holds Rav Shimon's covenant, is Osir. So they're going to agree that if you have a chair that is sunk into the mud, you can pull the chair out, because dragging the chair across the ground, we're afraid that it's going to make a charitz. And over here, the charitz, the hole is already made, and pulling it out is not making anything new, you're just pulling it out of an existing hole. Others mention, or he brings, I think, from Chaim Kanievsky, that the pshat is that it's like a little bit of loose mud, so therefore when you pull it out, it's just going to fill in, so it's not going to create anything to begin with. Okay, whatever the pshat is. So that's the first statement. Just like you're allowed to take it out, so you'll put it back in as well, because you're not creating anything of permanence. Our Mishnah also is the same thing. Just like the Mishnah says in Tolam B'Shabbos, you can take the vegetables out of the ground by the leaves, so that's going to create a hole. So you see that the hole where the vegetables were, the fact that we're pulling them out, the hole exists, and therefore we're not worried about it. The same way you can pull the chair out, even though the hole exists, not worried about it. They're exactly parallel, right? Pulling the vegetables out of the ground is like pulling the chair out of the ground. The word is daika the raya, or the comparison. Maybe the Mishnah, our Mishnah is coming out with Rav Shimon, so maybe that's why it's mutter. Mashenk and the Chacham, maybe they would hold it. It's also, therefore, there's no proof from the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks a question, what do you mean? Mahatninon Shvias. It says that what? That not only is this a heter for Shabbos, it's also a heter for Shvias. You're not worried about things either being growing on Shvias or whatever the pshat is. We've done a couple of them pshatim. A problem of Svichim, that you don't have to worry about Svichim. And if you're going to say this, coming out like the Shita Reb Shimon, Yisloch Lemeimer Shvias Reb Shimon, if you're going to hold like Reb Shimon Mata Svichim Shvias, Reb Shimon Bechalal doesn't hold from the Isser of Svichim on Shvias. So there would be no need to say that there's no Isser of these vegetables, you don't have to be worried about the vegetables growing on Shvias because of Svichim. According to Reb Shimon, it wouldn't make a difference. Even if it was planted, there wouldn't be a problem of Svichim. V'chocha Amar Tachain, and you're going to tell me that, you tell me this is the sheet of Reb Shimon. It can't be Reb Shimon the sheet. So it must be it's coming out like a chum, and we have a proof. So the Gemara says, no, maybe really it could come out like Reb Shimon. Why? I forgot Reb Shimon matas sheet by Shvias, even though he holds his mutter if it grows wild. But he isn't going to agree that if the vegetables did grow, that it would kick on the kedusha Shvias. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means. Not that there's an iser svichim. You're right, he doesn't hold from the Isser Svichim. But as far as the problem of Kedusha Shvias, if there was a Tosefes in the growth of these vegetables during Shvias, during the Shemitah year, that the Mishnah is telling us that we don't have to worry about there being any Kedusha on that addition. Because, in other words, like there's an Isser of doing, Isser of having Lahefsid, Lachla of Lahefsid, or Loch of Lozchay, or any other Yisurim that are surround the Kedusha Shvias, that does not apply to the addition. So maybe that's what the Mishnah meant. And that Rav Shimon is also asking to. So it could be that our Dichay is a good Dichay. It's Lomishon Kedusha Shvias. So if Hacha, Chayshish Lomishon Shvias, Lomishon Kedusha Shvias, that's what it meant. Okay. So the Gemara says, right.
So we end that we're not not sure whether it's going like Rav Shimon or Rabbanan.
It's not clear, right? It's not clear whether our Mishnah is coming out only like Rav Shimon or not like only like Rav Shimon. If you hold it's only like Rav Shimon, then you don't have a proof to the din that the Rabbanan will be Maida in the case. What we're saying is we don't have a proof from our Mishnah. We're not disagreeing with our original premise that the Chacham are Maida to Rav Shimon, that pulling the chair out is allowed. But we can't prove it from the Mishnah because the Mishnah might be like Rav Shimon. That's all the Gemara is saying. Okay, has a person plants wheat and barley as one. So let's see. Now the Gemara is going to say this is going to be a fascinating Gemara. Okay, zara shnei minim bebika zara shnei minim bekorba. If a person plants two minim in a bika is a plain. I think they say that it's where there are many, many fields make up a bika. Definition of bika. If you look at Mara Fulda on the second to last in line, he says, Stam bika sodos harbe shalanoshim harbe. So there are many, many fields. And Chorba is that's nechavu hasadas. Chorba is that there were fields, but they're ruined now. Okay, shnei minim b'chilkan getter. Or if you have two minim. So what's happening here is I'm throwing the way the Ridvaz has a little like dhamma to the sugya. He says it's a little bit of an enigmatic sugya. It's not exactly so clear, but then he tries to explain it according to the Gra and his Gersa, and he says the following: if you go down to the middle of the Ridvaz, that's where he really explains it. Pirish, Reb Yochanan Sfirlei Deloyaz Lina Beklayim Basar Akira. Reb Yochanan, do everybody see it? On the right side of the page, the Ridvaz, all the way to the middle of where after the dark bolded letters, Perish. The Rabbi Yochanan Sfirlei Delei Azlina Beklayim Basar Akira. Rabbi Yochanan does not go after Akira. Akira means that when you're throwing the seeds out of your hands, that's the Akira. Ela Basar Hanocha. He goes after when it lands. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Sfirlei Dazlina Basar Akira. And Rish Lakish disagrees, he holds, no, you go after there from the time it comes out of your hands. The Ema Sai Be'inam Be'Klaim She'ura Be'Kamayim Be'Kuravim She'hei Klaim Ayidezeh. There's usually there are Mishnayos that talk about how close the seeds have to be planted, for instance, the six Tvachim to be next to each other. So when is there a shear like that necessary? Hani Mili B'Shazara Min Echad Etzlo. That's when you planted one species, and now you're coming to plant another species. So how far away from the original, from that first species, do you have to be marchik the second planting? Okay, that's when you need a shir hachokah. Masha enkim imzora ka'achas. However, if you threw both seeds down at once, va'ach haruach pizron, but along came the wind, and spread them apart, so they didn't end up being next to each other at all. Lo ichpas lan mashloha yahanocha. That's Rish Lakish Ashita, is we don't care that there was not a hanocha, that they didn't actually land next to each other. Rish Lakish Ashita is we go basar akira, and therefore, since when I threw it out of my hands, they were together, I'm over the Isser Klein the Oraisa. I'm talking about the Oraisa. Rish Lakish holds. Yechayev, Reklayev, if you had an intent to plant two seeds together, and I threw them out of my hands, and it, even though the wind came along and blew them apart, no matter. Okay, and then it goes right there. That's a very good hagdoma to what we're talking about here. So we're talking about where you have two minim in a bika, in a churba, or you have two minim. And when they landed, there was one landed on one side of the fence, and one landed on the other side of the fence. So Rabbi Yochanan and Potter, Rabbi Yochanan says, you're Potter. Why? Because they didn't land next to each other. And he goes, Basar Hanocha. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says what? That Chayiv, Yochai Malkus. Why? Because he goes, Basar Akira. Okay, so, Maida Rish Lakish. Vizareya Agave Pitra, Agave Ayam, Agave Pitra, Agave Slon, Agave Trashim. He agrees that if you plant the seeds, if when I threw the seeds out of my hands, let's suppose I was on a boat, or on a bridge over the water, and I take the seeds and I throw them out. So even though I'm throwing them out together, he's going to agree in that case that I'm not going to be chayav. Why? Because there's no chance of them taking root. I'm throwing them into the sea. So, or if I put them on a hard soil where I can't grow over rocks, where I can't grow over rough terrain, he's going to agree that you're putting. So that's a davar pashut. Furthermore, Rav Shlakish is maida. Furthermore, if he does it, amanas lechalkon goder, that I intended, when I threw it out of my hands, I intended for the two seeds to go in opposite directions around two sides of a wall. So therefore, since my intent at the time of the Akira was that when it lands, it should not land and grow together, he also agrees that you are potter.
No, it makes more sense. The previous case, you could argue that it's not. I mean, his intent was that it should really happen to be. It was a hard surface and it couldn't grow.
It means he knows that it's a hard surface and he knows it's not going to grow. It has to be an intent to plant. That's the idea. Sarcha loy sizra klayim. And after all, the pasuk says zriya. That's not called zriya if you're putting it down on a hard. You know, you don't be chayav on Shabbos either, by the way. You know, if I take two seeds, one seed, and I take, throw it down on a hard rock on Shabbos, there's no iser.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
It's a question. I don't know what the chiddush is.
There isn't that much of a chiddush here. It's just basically saying that it's not that your intention has to be to do zriya. Okay. So again, if it's almanas lachakun ganashu potter, you're also potter. Let's see. Does he bring down here? He says over here, in 17, even if his intent did not come to fruition, and the seeds landed apart from one another. One second. Hold on a second. So, what do you mean it didn't come to fruition and the seeds landed apart? He's not writing it right. He should write. If I were writing this, it sounds like he's trying to say that just reading it in English, it doesn't make any sense.
So what if Rish Lakish intended that they fall on the same side of the fence, but they ended up falling on the other side? He's still liable. At the time,
one side, he wanted on the right side and ended up on the left side.
He wanted them both on the right side.
Nah, I don't think it makes a difference.
He's still liable.
I think he's still liable, yeah. It's funny the way he writes it in 17. You know, if reading it now, it doesn't really make much sense. Because if you read 17, you see the way how it doesn't make sense? Even according to Rish Lakish, one who throws mixed grains simultaneously is liable only if he intended that they be sown together. Then, even if his intent did not come to fruition, and the seeds landed apart from another, he's liable to Malkus. Oh no, that makes sense. That's correct. But if he originally intended for the grains to fall on opposite sides of the fence, yeah, then he's not liable even if the grains left his hand at the same time. Okay, but now the question's going to be, what if I intended for it to land on two sides of the fence and I missed and they ended up on the same side of the fence? Would he agree then that you're chayav malchus? I don't know. You haven't said that case. Okay, I don't know. Good question.
What's his expectation? That one zuriko, that it's going to disperse to different sides of the fence? Or one zuriko,
yeah.
How's that going to work?
I can see it happening. You know, try it on the hand. I think on the hand it makes more sense. Okay, now we're on 8b. I'm moving right along here, everybody, so I'm trying to move because I want to try to cover as much ground as possible. So now there's two ways to learn this Gemara. The Gemara might be talking about the Isra of Haitzah, right? So Rav Shlakish is, by Shabbos, there's a din in order to be a time for Haitzah. Everybody knows you have an Akira and a Hanukkah, right? So Rav Shlakish is going to agree when it comes to Shabbos, it doesn't matter if you only had an Akira. If you only have an Akira, you're not Hanukkah. You have to have Akira and Hanukkah. So he agrees with Rav Yerkin and when it comes to Halacha Shabbos. That's one way to learn the Gemara. Another way to learn the Gemara that he's still talking about the same Inyan, right? That we're talking about.
He brings a footnote that the reason of Shulchan Lakish is because Mamre Pi Hashem. That's why it's
Akira. Because what?
Mamre. He's going against Hashem's commandment. Mamre Pi Hashem.
Yeah.
So that's why it's Akira. But it doesn't fit with all the different svaras because then it would be depending on what his intention was. So if his intention is that it's going to be on both sides of the fence, so then it should be fine. But if its intention is that it's going to be on both sides of the fence and it lands together, it should be fine also. Because it's all going on the das, that is Mamre Pi Hashem.
Right. No? Yeah. So you hold
the Chazonish said.
So you're saying to you it's Pashut that if it ended up being together, it wouldn't make a difference.
If his intention
was that it should not
go
together.
Because his intention is to resurrect your life,
it doesn't make a difference.
Or vice versa. If his intention is that they'll be together and comes the wind and separates them with a god there or whatever, then he's chayav as well.
Because that's correct.
It goes by his intention.
That's correct.
Or he's not going to be chayav mal.
What's that?
He's only going to be chayav mal.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about.
That's the chiyuv, that's the
chiyuv. The chiyuv for his
And you have to be yoker the kilayim, I'm saying, right? You have to be yoker.
Well, that's a separate issue, whether you have to be yoker or not. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. If he wasn't yoker, if he wasn't according to Rabbi Yochanan, I guess he wouldn't have to be yoker either, I guess. I'm not sure about that part. Yeah, we haven't learned enough kilayim to know the chiyuv and what yoker. Yeah. What's the other pshat over here? There's another pshat over here. What was it?
But it's chayv zareya. One is.
One was akira hanocha, and one was for zareya, right? Yeah. Okay. Next, matzisim pligar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going to say again. So now we have. Let's review one more time. We have machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh. If you throw two seeds out, and the wind comes and separates them, Rabbi Yochanan holds your pater from malchus. Shlokesh holds your chayv malchus. The Gemara says. Our Mishnah is arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because it says in the Mishnah, "Hazareya chito usara ka'achas hariza klayim," that you're doing the act of zriya ka'achas. So it sounds like we're just looking at the act of how you're throwing the seeds out. You're throwing them out as one. So that seems to be the question.
Depends on how you define the zareya.
What's that?
Depends on how you define the verb zareya.
Is it
throwing it in or having it hit the ground?
That's how you're defining the machlokas from Yechonim and Shlokish.
But the question
here is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says ka'achas? Hazareya ka'achas, when you read the Mishnah, what does that sound like?
It sounds like Akira.
If you're
going to throw them at the same time, they're going to hit the ground at the same time.
Okay,
so
you don't think it's a big riot. Okay, I understand. So let's see. Number three, he says it. The word ka'achas, together, indicates he released the grains from his hands together. Okay, so whatever. So let's go on. So the Gemara answers, pasalah. So say the Mishnah is talking about benesunim betok shisha al shisha. That they landed within an area which was 6x6 tefachim. Dom Rabbi Yochanan in a chayev, ad shiyahu shisha al shisha. In other words, when ka'achas, which is basically what you said, the ka'achas means not that it's as one when it came out of my hand, but it's ka'achas that my targeted area is one small area which is 6x6 tefachim or less. So Rabbi Yochanan says you're only chayev. I'm talking about chayev malchus on the daraisa level. If it's 6x6 mukrochim, which have been cleared, besoch sodet for either you have an existing field of wheat of grain growing, right, and there is a small area that let's say has been cleared of grain. So now I have a targeted area that I'm throwing the seeds at. I throw the seeds at the target area that has been cleared from the grain. So now when they land in that targeted area, they're surrounded by other stalks of grain. Or, omukofim getter. Or, it's another case, would be that it's surrounded by a fence. So the 6x6 tefachim, it's not just 6x6 tefachim. They need to be defined either by being surrounded by grain or by being surrounded by a fence. Okay? So since they fell within this enclosed area, so therefore that's considered together. Footnote 4 says the following. Under Torah law, there's no transgression unless they're planted within 6 tefachim. And, this is the key here, and the second requirement is they're closed in either by grain or by a fence. All right? Now, just to add, that's their raisa level. And their rabbanon level, just so you should see what the rabbanon iser is. Rabbanon, of course, is a much more expanded area than 6x6. It's a base raiva, which is 10.2 amas square. So if you have two seeds within 10.2 amas square, that's an iser rabbanon. If it's within 6 tefachim, it's an iser d'oraisa. Okay, that's the thing to know right now. Okay, so that's how we're teaching up the Mishnah. When it says, Chazareya chito usara ka'achas, so what it means is that it should land in one small defined area surrounded by a fence within 6x6 tefachim. Badar b'yehudah, you know, klayim. Our Mishnah says that b'yehudah holds it's not klayim. Is that possible? How could it be? Right, because Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara now understands Rabbi Yehuda when he says that you have to have three seeds. I don't know if you remember what Menachem explained yesterday. We explained that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is sadecha leisizra klayim. The pasuk says your field shall not be planted klayim. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first seed that falls that defines it as a sadeh. If there's nothing growing there, he holds that's not called sada. Sada, to be considered a field, you have to have something growing. So the first seed accomplishes sadecha. And then afterwards, lo sizra klayim. Then that's why he requires three seeds. Okay? So 2 wheat, one barley, or 2 barley, 1 wheat, that sort of thing. So the Gemara is assuming that not only does he argue with them, not only does he argue with Rabbanon on the idea of the two or the three, but also he argues with them in terms of the space. That whereas the Rabbanon hold, you have to have 6x6 tefachim, right, within 6 tefachim of each other. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it actually has to be within a tefach. We'll see in a second. So the Gemara wants to know if it's such a close proximity, would Rabbi Yehuda argue on such a thing? So the Gemara says, Amar Zaira, Rabbi Yehuda b'date, Rabbi Yehuda's going according to his shita, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, b'stei yerek tefach. He holds that within a vegetable patch, that the shear of two separate minim of vegetables is just a tefach. And the Gemara is now saying the following. Look at footnote 8, he says it explicitly. The Mishnah 3:3, Rabbi Yehuda rules a gap of the width of a person's foot suffices to separate different types of vegetables. Rabbi Zaira posits that Rabbi Yehuda applies this minimum separation not only to vegetables but also to grain. So that's what we're saying now. We're expanding what our originally understanding of Rabbi Yehuda Shita as far as Hakaka was concerned. We thought it was only by Yerachas that he said Tafach, but it's not true. The Gemara is saying it's even by Yizron. So therefore, he's going to argue in the Mishnah on both counts, both on the three seeds versus two, and on 6x6 versus 1. Rabbi Yosi, Mandaboy Mikashal, Hadad Rabbi Zaira. If one wants to ask a question on this explanation, this is what he would do. He would extrapolate like this. This is a funny kind of a Gemara to start off a statement like that one. We'll come back to this, exactly what his intentions. Let's just try to follow his logic. Yolaf Hadad Rabbi Yehuda Min Rabbanon. Let's try to extrapolate Rabbi Yehuda Shita from the Rabbanon Shita. How so? Kamad Rabbanon Amrim Yisr Beis Raiva, just like Rabbanon, who argue on Rabbi Yehuda, hold that the Yisr Rabbanon is it when you have a Beis Raiva. And when is it Malchus that it's an Yisr D'oraisa? Shishal Shisha. Just like you have that definition of Shisha Al Shisha versus Beis Raiva. Kein Rabbi Yehuda Amar, now we're on Daf Tesam and Aleph. Kein Rabbi Yehuda Amar, so Rabbi Yehuda says, the Yisr Shisha Al Shisha, low calls. I'm sorry, but Isser Shishal Shisha, that for the being Isser Drabbanan, it would be 6x6. Lo kos tefach, and to get malchus would be a tefach. That's what one might extrapolate, right? I mean, it seems logical. If you're a bar plukta of the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan hold based raiva as Drabbanan, Shishal Shisha is deraisa, and you know that my shita is tefach is deraisa, so it would stand to reason that you hold Shishal Shisha would be Rabbanan, right? So, but Hartani, but there's a brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda matter. The Rabbi Yehuda holds if it's more than a tefach apart, then it's absolutely mutar l'chachila to plant at that distance. Meaning, he's basically was mevatel the whole issur drabbanan. He's either deraisa or mutter. Unusual, very unusual. So let's see what it says over here. So what's the Gemara warn over here exactly? So. So Rabbi Yossi is trying to plug a hole in what Rabbi Ze'era said, right? Rabbi Ze'era we just got finished saying Rabbi Ze'era said that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is it's going to be a tefach. So Rabbi Yossi is trying to say, if you want to question this explanation, so let's try to slug up his explanation by making this comparison and show that Rabbi Yehuda seems to be out of character. So what's he want with that? This brisa, which refers to our Mishnah's case of one who planted seeds between 1 and 6 tefachim apart, teaches Rabbi Yehuda not only exempts the person from the deraisa, but he even permits it to do it in the first place. Thus, Rabbi Ze'era's approach is inadequate because it fails to explain why Rabbi Yehuda rules that there's not even a drabbanan. How, in other words, he hasn't met the bar, so to speak, of explaining Rabbi Yehuda's position. That seems to be his question. And the Gemara leaves it unresolved. So, in footnote 4, it says that the Gemara prefaced this examination by saying if one wants to question, which implies that the question is not necessarily a compelling question. If you want, you could argue that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not analogous to the Rabbanan. In other words, you're making an assumption with this question that just like the Rabbanan have a Shita of Reis Reiva and Shisha, so too Rabbi Yehuda would also have a Tefach versus 6x6. But that's not necessarily the case. The Rabbanan could hold Tefach, right? That Tefach is Aser, but there is no Rabbanan. I'm not, this is a little bit of a difficult piece exactly what the Gemara wants. So how are we doing over here? It's 8:58. Okay. I guess we'll stop here. Okay?